You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Sunshine, goodbye rain. She's wearing my school ring on her chain. She's my steady, I'm her man. I'm gonna love her all I can.
This day is ours.
Won't you be mine?
This day is ours.
Please be mine. Gonna cruise her around the town. Show everybody what I found. Rock and roll with all my friends. Hoping the music never ends.
All right, everybody, and welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. You know, it's Saturday, what a day. This day is ours. It doesn't matter if you're tuning into us live this evening, Saturday, August the 15th, 2015, or if you listen to us any other day of the week via the broadcast archives made available to you by the Liberty News Radio Network. Any day that we're together, it is a happy day. And that is a feel-good song if there ever was one. It's all downhill from here for the next 2 hours and 59 minutes. But welcome to the show, nevertheless. Happy days, Keith Alexander, in with me tonight, as he almost always is. Was it a different world when that song came out, Keith?
Well, it was already going down. Let me tell you, the Bright Watershed was May the 17th, 1954, the date that the Brown decision, Brown versus Board of Education, came down. But the 50s were certainly a better world than the one we live in today in just about every way, and we could go into details about it. But, you know, it's our job, unfortunately, to rain on people's parades somewhat and tell them just how bad things are. We're not going to put a happy face and pretend that this is a happy day. But there is some hope. There is hope, and the hope is Donald Trump.
I want to ask you about this. You know, Keith, we spent, I guess, an hour and a half. We kicked off last week's show talking about the murder of the police officer here in Memphis, the black-on-white murder of yet another Black Lives Matter thug, and this time he's killed a white police officer. So we opened with that last week with Sean Bergen, but then we spent an hour and a half, it seems, at least an hour and change, talking about the Trump phenomenon. But you weren't here last week. You and Eddie both had the evening off. So I'm going to ask you, what is it? And I talked with this, it was with Don Wassel. What is it about Donald Trump that endears him to people like us? You know, ideologically speaking, he may or may not be with us on some of our signature issues. We really don't know. There are some things where he most certainly isn't with us. But yet it's enough to get me excited about his candidacy. And I guess you feel that as well.
Well, he's a man. That's it. In a couple of, you know, he actually acts like he has a set of cojones down there. And that apparently is a cardinal sin for the leftists that run the network news, both major political parties. They want, you know, I'm hesitant to use this terminology because I don't really agree with it. I think a beta male is a good thing. Because there are a lot more than two letters in the Greek alphabet. But basically, they insist that every male act like a beta male, as people understand that, where there's just a dichotomy, there's an alpha male or a beta male. I think there's alpha males all the way down to omega males. That'd be the guy sleeping under the bridge. But he refuses to kowtow. He refuses to be politically correct. He's served notice that he is not going to be cowed by political correctness. He's not going to behave the way the feminists want him to do. And that is really striking a responsive chord with the American public. The American public is looking for a leader. They're not looking for a wimp. And the rest of the Republican field basically is one variety or another of a wimp.
Well, and when we were on the air last Saturday night, of course, that was 2 days after the event in Cleveland, the first GOP debate that drew in 24 million viewers, a record television audience for any genre other than sports. And so a lot of this had begun to manifest itself, but of course now a lot more information has come to light, including the first post-debate polls. And so, you know, the media has been telling us three or four times now that Trump is done, and he continues to defy all laws of political gravity, as they say. They said when he made that comment about the illegal aliens being rapists and murderers, he was done. He was out of the race. When he criticized John McCain and said he could be anything other than a hero, they said he was done. He'll never survive that. Then when he had this ta-ta-ta with Megyn Kelly, and believe me, folks, we're going to give you more information about Megyn Kelly this hour that you may not have been privy to, and certainly that came even to our it was made knowledge to us after the debate last week. But they said after his ta-ta-ta with Kelly, there's no way he's going to survive that. And yet, Keith, here we have it now right in front of us. An NBC poll suggests that Trump's lead has either maintained itself at its current rate or, in fact, increased. Now, there was some reshuffling of some of the other candidates, but Trump has maintained his lead at the very top of it. Now, here is the brand-new scientific poll. We have this listed for you at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week, ladies and gentlemen. In the wake of Thursday's Republican debate, that would be Thursday before last, of course, it shows that the billionaire developer has increased his lead at the top position with the other GOP establishment candidates, such as Jeb Bush and Chris Christie, in a downward spiral as a result of the debate. So here it is. Trump ranks in at number one in the first post-debate poll, scoring at 23% support. Now, I want you to imagine 23% out of a 17-man or one-woman field. That is absolutely astonishing. Ted Cruz saw the biggest increase contrasted with his previous position. He went up 7 points, and he is now polling in second place with a robust 13%. Ben Carson now in third at 11%, plus 3 from his pre-debate polls. Carly Fiorina, you know, they put her in at fourth place. I got something to say about her in a second, too, but she's at 8%. So there's your top four, Keith: Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, and then Marco Rubio. And then beyond that, below that, you have all of the rest: Jeb Bush falling, Scott Walker falling, Mike Huckabee, Rand Paul didn't really better or worsen their situation much at all. So this is it. The Trump juggernaut continues to roll on. And even after he said he wouldn't rule out a third-party debate, it didn't stop his supporters one bit. They're perfectly fine with that. 54%, in fact, said they would vote for Trump for president, even if he didn't win the Republican nomination, while only 1 in 5 Trump supporters said they would switch to support a Republican candidate other than him. It's astonishing. It's something I have never seen before in all of my, you know, years. And granted, I'm not as long in the tooth as some, but there you have it again, ladies and gentlemen. Your top five right now post-debate: Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, Marco Rubio, and Donald Trump lapping all of them. All of them combined barely reaches his total. We'll be back, and I'm going to let Keith tell us all about it right after this.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. At the end of that opening segment, we were reciting some poll numbers. And I know when it's radio and not television, you don't have an image or a graphic in front of you. Your ears can glaze over, if you will, and when you're reciting names and numbers. But basically, Donald Trump leads the pack, and he does so with at least a bigger lead as he enjoyed prior to the debate. Some polls have him leading with as much as 32% of the vote. And so we're watching all of this stuff. I thought the media was really out. Fox News, specifically during the debate, was really out, for whatever reason, to get Trump. And then right after the debate, now this is the guy leading this crowded field of 17 people, half of them at least career politicians, and then Jeb Bush, you have one heir to a dynasty. He's leading them all. Came out of nowhere, leading them all. And the media, right after the debate, said Donald Trump's campaign is in turmoil. Really? Leading the field with that wide of by that wide of a margin, your campaign's in turmoil? They were asking him questions like, will you continue your race? Well, why wouldn't he? But it's just to plant the seed of doubt that perhaps he isn't a serious candidate. Perhaps he can. I don't know what their game is. And then they said, well, he didn't give out his policies. He didn't really go into detail during the debate about what his policies on these critical issues would be. Are you really supposed to lay out a position paper in the 45 seconds afforded to each answer in a debate featuring 10 people on commercial television? I mean, what did they expect? But nevertheless, he's withstood it all, Keith. He shows no signs of slowing down, no signs of shutting up. His lead has only increased despite their very best efforts, for whatever reason, to try to deal him damage.
Let me make a couple of observations, if I could. First of all, who is losing support? The people losing support are all the girly men of the Republican field, all the cuckservatives, all the rhinos, people like Chris Christie and Jeb Bush are the primary losers. But you really don't hear that. That's not emphasized by the talking heads that break down all of this stuff. They'll report, for example, that Jeb Bush lost 3 points, which is basically over half of the support that he had going into the debates as a result of his performance in the debate. But that is just reported and is not part of the analysis. All the analysis is how Donald Trump somehow purportedly blew it, and he didn't blow anything. In fact, what he did was blow the top off of the debates. He's the only one that came out of there a winner. And let me suggest this. You're talking about Clinton. There's a reason why Clinton remains fairly popular, even in spite of all of the wrong that he's done. And it's the same reason I would submit that Donald Trump is likewise being admired by the electorate, obviously, with the poll numbers that he has. And that's because whatever their flaws may be, these are identifiable male prototypes. These are men, okay? The thing about Bill Clinton, he was a politician. He was not a doctrinaire ideologue. When he found out that Hillary Care was going nowhere early in his tenure, in his presidential tenure, he dropped it like a hot potato. And by the time he got out, we had a balanced federal budget, if you can believe it, the last time we've had it. Then George W. Bush got in there, started listening to the Jewish neocons that were giving him advice, the neoconservatives, the phony conservatives, which is basically all the rest of the field, with the exception maybe two or three in the Republican primary. Donald Trump strikes a similar chord with the public. He's obviously a man, and people are craving male leadership. Now, the people that are talking him down, people like Megyn Kelly, Whoopi Goldberg, Rosie O'Donnell, people like this, these are a bunch of hags. These are feminist hags. I would tell you what Megyn Kelly is, but I wouldn't want to slander female dogs. And see, this is, and they, be prepared for this. You're never going to hear an encouraging word about Donald Trump, despite the fact that he's going to roll like Sherman's army through Georgia in all of these debates. And the reason is because the left always wants to, quote unquote, control the conversation. And they think that if you can win, but if they say you lose, you've really lost. And that's what they're doing. Beware of that. That's how liberalism has triumphed, despite the fact that it has been a vastly minority position throughout the last 70 years. That's how they have won, because they control the media. There would never have been, as I've said before, a triumph of liberalism in America and in the Western world generally over the past 70 years had it not coincided with the development of mass media. They control the mass media. The message is a massage, as Marshall McLuhan said, and that's, you've got to beware of that. Don't listen to their counterintuitive reporting and analysis. It's all BS.
The media, for so long, Keith, all of my life, has been able to make or break any candidate of their choosing. Donald Trump somehow has proven that he has more power, at least for now, than the media itself. He brings in these ratings, and it gives Fox a real problem. They're seen as the network for Republicans, dare I say conservatives, and here you have the man leading the Republican field. So it's hard for them to really wage war with them, although they attempted to knock him down a few pegs. Pat Buchanan wrote an article about this that's on our website, and he said that the moderators of that debate, led by Kelly, were acting more like middle linebackers trying to sack Donald in the end zone than referees, as they should have been. But here it is. Listen, after a weekend of trying to damage the Trump brand, this new poll comes out on Sunday night of last week, and he increases his lead at the very least. Or at the very least, he holds steady, and in some polls, they have him increasing his lead. So you know what happened then? Roger Ailes of Fox News calls Trump and essentially apologizes, clears the air, says that he'll please start coming back on Fox, because he said he wasn't going to do any more interviews on Fox. He did all the big talk shows on Sunday morning last week. Huge ratings bonanza. He still leads the field. Fox, the news media, all of these insinuations that his campaign was in turmoil, that he lacked policy, that he may not be in it to the finish, all of these nonsensical things, Megyn Kelly bringing up the fact that he called a fat pig, Rosie O'Donnell is a fat, disgusting pig, Hillary Clinton's a sea hag. Listen, if you want to act like a man, you want to be a man, you're going to get treated like a man. But it didn't hurt him at all, and he got Fox News, he got Roger Ailes to cry uncle. And this is after Fox brought in that ridiculous Frank Luntz, brought in this obviously fake focus group, and everybody there in the focus group said, oh, no, I'm turning against Trump. Well, I guess the only people who turned against Trump as a result of his debate answers were the people in that focus group, because the rest of America sure as hell didn't.
Isn't that Frank Luntz a piece of work? I mean, every time I see him, I can barely contain myself. He looks like the chubby, nerdy kid that used to get picked on in the playground. I mean, I've never seen a guy. Why are they presenting people like him, pushing him to the forefront as some type of male spokesman or political guru? The guy obviously couldn't pour piss out of a boot with the instructions printed on the heel. The guy is obviously out of his league. He's silly. He's and how many of the males are like that? Look at the girly men. Look at the metrosexuals we see. Somebody like Jimmy Fallon on Nightly News compared to somebody like Jack Parr or Johnny Carson back in the day, or even Jay Leno recently. You know, why are they? They basically are suggesting that men have to be submissive in order to be successful in this new upside-down liberal world we live in, and America is revolting. That's why Donald Trump is at the top of the polls.
I also liked how the media tried to catapult Carla Fiorina into some sort of a position near the top. We'll talk about that when we come back from this break. We're also going to get into some other dirty tricks that were hurled at Trump. And we're going to give you a little background on Megyn Kelly that you may not be familiar with. It's all coming up here on the Political Cesspool right after these words.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. We were talking about Carly Fiorina. Now, this is a woman who did such a bad job at Hewlett-Packard when she was the CEO there that they had to run her out, and she got this huge severance package. But she's a woman, though, so obviously she is...
Hear her roar.
Hear her roar. She's obviously infinitely more intelligent and qualified than any man. But I don't exactly understand why the media all of a sudden is trying to champion her. I mean, other than the fact that just because she's a woman. But I was watching this spin after the happy hour debate, the Little League debate on Fox.
Junior varsity debate.
Right. And as soon as it was over, oh, my gosh, Carly Fiorina, Carly Fiorina. Oh, she obviously won the debate. Britt Hume, don't you agree? Oh, I think it's clear to anyone who watched it that she was just incredible, that she won the debate, no doubt about it. And then they, you know, they talk about it for 30 minutes, how incredible she was, and then they go over to their focus group that's in studio. Don't you agree that Carly Fiorina won the debate? They put the the microphone or the camera in the person's face.
Well, let me tell you, you better agree with it. All the girly men at Fox News had better agree, or else they're going to be looking for work. See, they've got their script, and they follow it to
a lot of these polls work, though, especially with these focus groups. Now, they listen to the guy with the microphone, the guy with the camera, the host, and they basically just agree to be agreeable. I don't know how many people. I mean, maybe she did okay.
And if you're not agreeable, then you are a SOB, like supposedly. Donald Trump is.
It's peer pressure. Now, if you're in a group, if you are a weak-minded person, like most Americans are, devoid of core beliefs, and you're in a room and everybody seems to be going along with the head table, you know, taking cues from the host and, you know, agreeing with what he says to make themselves appear to be smart and, you know, fit in. Well, this is how it works. But, you know, she's obviously not going to be president. She's obviously not going to win. You know, God bless her.
She looks like a department store mannequin, as Hunter Wallace said, right? And she looks like she ought to be up there in the department store mannequin. She's got this kind of desiccated look to her. But let me tell you this. I put it all back to my comments about mass media and how liberalism could not have triumphed without it. The problem with mass media, with a constant stream of information, be it audio or audiovisual, is that it doesn't give you time to think. If you're reading a book or a newspaper, you can read something, put it down, and say, I don't know that I really agree with this. This may not be the truth. So consequently, you sit down and you run it through your mind and you start devising counter arguments. You don't have time to do that with a constant stream of information that you get through the mass media. And that's how the mass media has basically defanged all critics. They control the media. They control the microphones. It doesn't matter if 70% of the American people or 97% of America disagree with them. They've got all the microphones, and they will present their position as the vast majority position. Look at gay marriage, for example.
Well, but except with Trump, he seems to be the exception to this. People feel as though, I guess because he's been in the spotlight for decades, he's been a celebrity television host, people feel as though they know him, and they're unmoved by the media's spin on this. Nobody said Trump won the debate. The American people figured that out for themselves, and that's the way they responded.
Look, I'll differ with you just a little bit on that. If they were giving a fair presentation of Trump's arguments and Trump's position and Trump's performance in the debates, I guarantee he would be out of the 20s into the 30s and 40s. He would be growing.
Well, no,
they're trying to keep the lid on it,
well,
but
sure,
they can't quite do it.
If the media was in the tank for Trump,
and it's headed up by a cuck, Eric Erickson. And he disinvites Trump from, because of his ill manners with Megyn Kelly, or his perceived ill manners, he disinvites Trump from speaking at this poor man's CPAC there in Atlanta. All of the other major Republican candidates were there. But Trump gets disinvited. Now, this guy, Eric Erickson, he looks like a cuck. He talks like a cuck. He is one. He makes Martha Stewart look like Mick Jagger, as I was saying. And, well, Trump just eats him alive. He says it's an honor to be disinvited from that. He doesn't grovel. He stands his ground. He doesn't bend an inch. He says this guy's weak. He's pathetic. And that's exactly what he is. And he just goes on about his business. I mean, obviously, Eric Erickson isn't a spokesman for Red State America. He's not a spokesman for the kind of issues and or the people that vote Republican. And, you know, all of this thing about Donald Trump, I'll tell you something that I saw in an interview that didn't get a lot of play, even though it was with Bill O'Reilly, is that O'Reilly was talking to Trump about Vladimir Putin, and Trump said, unlike the Republican line, which is to treat Putin like he's somewhere in between Adolf Hitler and one of these, you know, Mideast kingpins like Saddam Hussein, I guess, or Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Yeah, he said, you know what? I'll deal with Putin, and I think I'll get along great with him. You know, we don't need everybody in the world hating us. Enough people hate America as it is. Why do we want to antagonize Russia? This is what Trump's thinking. That's a breath of fresh air to me. And Keith, I'll toss it over to you with that.
Yeah, I think people are finally coming to the realization that the mainstream media is not to be trusted. They have an agenda. They will report the news as if their agenda is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, when it's actually lies, all lies, and nothing but lies. And as a result, the American people are standing their ground at the very least. And I predict that the more you let Donald Trump have the microphone, the stronger his support will be. What they do is limit him. Their strategy is to limit what he says and then put their spin doctors on it. But nobody really gives two hoots in hell.
All right, Keith, let's go back to the mic. Go back to the mic. Pick your mic up.
What Megyn Kelly thinks.
Little technical snafu here. All right, back to Keith on the mic. We had to switch over to an alternate means of method of.
Okay, well, we're flying by the seat of our pants here, folks, but we're doing the best we can.
It's live radio.
Yeah, that's it. Well, see, here is the situation. You're never going to get the truth out of the mainstream media. When do you know when a mainstream media person is lying? Answer is when their lips are moving. Megyn Kelly, I told you I would tell you what she is, but I wouldn't want to slander female dogs.
And we're still going to get into the background on her that you may not be aware of.
And we will substantiate that comment with the background that we're going to give you about her. But like all of these talking heads, they're bought, sold, and paid for by the media. And like the trademark for RCA Victor, you know, the dog next to the Victrola, they know their master's voice. They pick up on the bird dog whistles that they get, and they make sure that they cleave to the liberal line. Neoconservatives are no different from liberals. Basically, neoconservatism was a Jewish movement that really has no domestic policy agenda whatsoever. They just have a foreign policy agenda of fighting wars in the Mideast, which, through some strange coincidence, seemed to work to the benefit of the state of Israel. Those are the supposed conservatives. That's what they want people to believe the conservative opposition to the radical leftism of the Democratic Party really is. It's not. We have a breakout candidate here with Donald Trump, and quite frankly, we're going to have to get behind him. He may not be perfect. He isn't perfect. But on the other hand, he seems to instinctively be saying the right things, and he apparently is unbossed and unbought. Like Shirley Chisholm said she was in the 1968 Democratic primary, Donald Trump is truly unbossed and unbought. He's got his own money, and he has his own opinions.
Well, Keith, it is still hard to imagine someone with whom the Republican establishment doesn't want to be their nominee somehow winning the nomination, because they are so criminally corrupt, not unlike the Democrats, but exactly like them. They're criminally corrupt. They sabotage anyone that doesn't go with them down the primrose path of cultural Marxism. And they know that they cannot control Donald Trump. That's the thing. And I think that was written in another article that we posted to our website this week. If Donald Trump has the power to destroy the Republican Party, he also has the power to control it. And he does have the power to destroy it.
He could make the Republican Party, on the other hand, he could make the Republican Party actually be an organ
and, they
and
might
a
start...
voice for red state Americans. He's the only one in the field that could.
They could start winning again with people like him. Lindsey Graham actually said in an interview after the debate he would rather it would be better for the Republicans to lose with another candidate than to win with Trump. Now this is the kind of
these are the girly men game. That populate that Republican
field. Never trust
field.
A man named Lindsey. We'll be right back.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Now, folks, I got a question for you as we roll on this evening. What do Nathan Bedford Forrest, Bernie Sanders, and the Ferguson police officers have in common? We're going to answer that question for you in the second hour of tonight's live show, so stay tuned for that. But first, you know, the thing about Trump, we've been on the air for almost 11 years now. It'll be 11 years in October, which is right around the corner. So we'll just go ahead and round up. We've been on the air 11 years. And we have talked about a lot. We've said a lot. We've done a lot in 11 years. But there's one thing we have never done in 11 years. We have never apologized Not once. You know, I am not opposed to apologies when we are wrong, but I will never apologize for speaking my mind. We have never been afraid to speak our minds. We will never be afraid to lead. And I think there's something about Donald Trump that's similar to that that resonates with us. But I want to talk quickly now, Keith, about this deal with Megyn Kelly. So here's Megyn Kelly. Now, she's pretending to be all offended by Donald Trump's past remarks.
Typical blonde bimbo info babe, by the way.
She pretends to be offended by Trump's past remarks about women. But this is where the plot thickens. That didn't stop her from rollicking with Howard Stern during an interview that we posted to our website this week. This interview was conducted in 2010 after she was already working for Fox. She had not moved up into the primetime spot following Bill O'Reilly at that point, but she was already, you know, on board with Fox in a big-time way. So in 2010, and she actually talks about getting hired by Fox in that interview. So she's rollicking with Howard Stern in this interview, and in this interview she discusses her breasts, her husband's penis size, and goes on to engage in some graphic sex talk. We've got the entire clip on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, but basically here's the...
Don't take our word for it. It's on the
right.
On the
here's the story, though. 2010 interview, the Fox News star laughed with glee as Howard Stern talked to her about male and female genitalia, hers and her husband's specifically. She talks about what her husband calls her breasts. She talks about her husband's size. She talks about the kind of sex she and her husband engaged in while she was in the third trimester of her pregnancy. This is Megyn Kelly we're talking about. And yet, as the moderator of Thursday's Fox News debate week before last, she was insulted and enraged that Donald Trump had criticized the appearance of Rosie O'Donnell, of all people. So it's okay for her to go on. Now, Howard Stern is one of the greasiest,
slimiest
people,
subhumans network airways.
But it's okay, you know. Obviously, he's a great defender of women, right? I mean, but it's okay to go on an interview with him and discuss all of these things in a very nonchalant way. But you know, Donald Trump is the one that we really got to look out for. Keith, sink your teeth into this because I know you're ready.
Look, what it shows, that whole Megyn Kelly Howard Stern interview, shows you the debasement that has happened to American culture as a result of the triumph of liberalism over the past 70 years. Megyn Kelly can't be offended by anything anybody says based on this interview. She gave an interview that, quite frankly, even 10 years ago, couldn't have been had with anyone other than a porn star who was a female. And she's up here glorying in it, but pretending to be offended by some type of oblique reference to her menstrual cycle, which, quite frankly, I didn't get at all from what Donald Trump said when he was asked about it. See, we're supposed to... Well, a transformation is happening.
If he was talking, you know, he says he wasn't. I don't care if he was. If he was, it wouldn't half as bad as the thing she talked about with Stern. It was a lot more polite and proper.
Yeah, imagine a woman who wants to be considered chaste and highbrow talking about having sex in her third trimester with her husband and graphically describing his male member and things like this. That type of stuff is just beyond the pale. But it's not beyond the pale with the left. Now, I'd like to see this so-called he-man that she's supposedly married to. It probably looks like Frank Luntz.
I want to say another thing about that. I had it pulled up here. I believe his name is Douglas Brunt, if I'm not mistaken. His last name is Brunt. Her last name is Kelly. So that should go to show you the kind of conservative you're dealing with. She didn't take her husband's last name.
Yeah, you know who wears the pants in that family. And, of course, that's what they want. Look at the women that are being trotted out by the leftist media as being worthy of veneration. Ellen DeGeneres, Rosie O'Donnell, Whoopi Goldberg, the Kardashians. Come on. What type of debased... you know, society do we live in where you have homosexuals, lesbians, and basically porn stars held up to the populace in general as being
and
role models?
You left out one great female role model, Bruce Jenner.
Oh, yeah. See, and see, anything perverse, it is basically falling to the T. Herbert Marcuse's famous pamphlet on polymorphous perversity. Any sex that doesn't lead to procreation is to be preferred. Consequently, all of our heroes, all of our so-called female heroes, are either transgendered, or they're homosexual, or they are not particularly, you know, cut from the cloth that we consider to be womanly. They're not women's women. They are I am woman, hear me roar types. And the men, conversely, all have to be girly men. They have to be conservatives. They have to be submissive. And if they're not appropriately submissive, they're accused of not being presidential enough.
And I loved his response to Kelly during and after the debates. He, you know, we played the clip last week. Everybody's heard it by now many times. But he went on to this on MSNBC's Morning Joe program after the debates when he was still in his Cold War with Fox. He said, Megyn Kelly should be the one apologizing to me if you want to know the truth. And other candidates have told me that as well. So, you know, he didn't back down. You got to love that. You know, if I knew he was an out-and-out socialist, I could still support the manliness with which he brings his issues to the table. I wouldn't say I would
somebody
vote for him.
Imagine, you know, people like Lindsey Graham, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie. I mean, yeah, you talk about people in need of testosterone shots. Those are the guys, right?
We talked about this last week, Keith. I know you were out, but you know, Jeb Bush, you know, talking about conservatives again. Jeb Bush goes on Telemundo, does an interview in Spanish. And he talks about another interview that in his home, you know, he's married to a Mexican woman. In his home, they speak Spanish. His kids are Mexican. They eat Mexican food. He refers to his kids as Mexicans. You know, why is his Anglo-Saxon? You know, I know he's a New England carpetbagger. We talked about this last week. But why is his Anglo-Saxon culture the dominant one in this house? Why is it his wife's? You know, this
because he's a submissive male. He probably is that conservative that likes to watch someone else with
his wife.
We're
not going to go into. We're not going to go
into.
You know,
I'm telling you, that's just the next step. He apparently hasn't crossed that line. Hopefully, he hasn't crossed that line. But just think about this: we're supposed to hand over the control of the greatest governmental power on earth right now to a character that's as wimpish as this. How could we hope to compete with somebody like a Vladimir Putin or leaders in the rest of the world that haven't succumbed to this liberal baloney? You know, it, as I said before about Obama versus Putin, it's really culture shock to me when America is being led by a globalist Marxist and Russia is being led by a Christian nationalist.
Well, and I would much rather have a guy like Trump. You know, look, it's not as if, you know, and I said this during the commercial break, it's not like Sam Bushman's running for president
or Pat Buchanan.
Well, it's not like any of us are running and we're polling at 30%, so the establishment has to send in somebody to steal our thunder. You know, I wouldn't vote for any of the Republican candidates whether or not Trump was running. I'm probably going to vote for Trump as it stands right now. Now, things could change between now and next spring when the primaries are held. But, you know, in some states, he's holding a 20-point lead, like these early Super Tuesday states like Georgia and South Carolina. He's even leading Jeb Bush in Florida, where Bush governed for 8 years. He's leading Rubio in Florida. He's leading every state. He's leading across the country.
Look, Bush is basically held in thinly veiled contempt by the people that vote Republican in America, and they're going to find out just how unpopular he is if it comes down to a choice between him and Donald Trump.
Days after the wake, the fallout from the debate, and all of this press-fueled controversy over the situation with Megyn Kelly, Trump continues to hold a commanding lead, as we've established, and now it's growing. You know, not just the lead, but his campaign infrastructure is growing. He is sending operatives to Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, Michigan, and other states to hire field organizers. He is putting out and drafting policy position papers on immigration, the Second Amendment, the economy, so on and so forth. So, you know, we'll see. I still find it hard to believe that the Republicans will allow him to win the nomination in spite of what
well,
the
people may
want. Well,
let me tell you what to
watch out for. We will see.
Watch out for this. See if Jewish names start popping up in his, you know,
well,
back office people. Let me just say this. That's how they did George W. Bush in. He came with a kind of vaguely conservative zeitgeist when he became president, and right off the bat, Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, Douglas Feith, Michael Ledeen, people like that started getting advisor positions, and he was transformed into a neoconservative. I don't think they're going to be able to pull that with a guy as old, a wily, cagey veteran like Donald Trump, but you're going to see them make some type of effort. And when somebody like Lindsey Graham, who is in the field, says it would be better for the Democrats to win than it would be to have Trump be the standard bearer for the Republicans, that shows you that like we've said, these are two wings of the same bird, the Democrat and the Republican Party. And it's like George Wallace said, the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is the difference between Tweedledum and Tweedledee. There's not a dime's worth of difference between them. They're showing the wisdom of that approach daily, and we need a breakout man like Trump.
Well, I'll tell you, if he does put Jewish folks in his organization, it's because he wants them there, not because he's being beaten into submission. His lawyer was on Hannity earlier this week. He's a Jewish guy, but, you know, listen, if you don't get to be a billionaire developer in Manhattan without having Jewish connections. Power. He has them. But
you can't kowtow to their viewpoint.
We've got
to keep
a break.
Them in their place.
Got to take a break. We're going to Ferguson when we come back.
Liberty News Radio Network.